Why is happening? Why is it always against Christianity? How about all the other religions in the world? You hear very little about that. But when you mention Jesus Christ and Christianity, we find out that the world turns against these people that confesses Jesus Christ. We need to know how to stand. We need more courage to stand and to testify about Jesus Christ and to witness for Jesus Christ. Christians have been intimidated too long. We need this holy boldness. As we look at the life of Peter and we look at the life of John to understand how that we need to stand and why do we need to stand so bad. Disciples have been intimidated. They have cowered down because of the cross. Jesus Christ was dead. He was buried. He was in the tomb. But now we find out in this chapter, in the chapter of the book of Acts, that Jesus Christ resurrected. He came forth, and we see the boldness now because he lives on. And I tell you, the same thing 2,000 years ago that Peter and John could stand up were the same people that crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, can stand. Ye men, you're the one that crucified the Son of the living, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the one today. And the same holy boldness could be in each one of our hearts today that we might be able to stand that and say, hey, we're no longer going to take this from our politicians. We're no longer going to let people walk and stand against holy things of God. We're going to take a stand today, and we're going to get the people out of the office, and we're going to make a stand for Jesus Christ, I tell you. And we need to stand for Jesus Christ today. So let me read this verse of Scripture, and you'll see why in chapter 4 and verse 13 as you keep your Bibles open. And I will tell you the story about this in just a moment. But it says, now when they saw the boldness, and that's what people need to see today, Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we need the holy boldness, and we understand we have your holy and your precious word to lead us and to guide us, O God. And Father, we know that you live on in the power that we today to understand that you live on, as Peter and John many years ago was able to stand against the world at that time and pronounce that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And I take it, we know today that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and he lives on today. Lord, we need this holy boldness. We need your presence today. And Father, they saw that Peter and John had been in the presence of Jesus Christ. And how we get this boldness today is because that we need to spend more time with you, not less time. Many churches today are closing the doors on Wednesdays. They're closing the doors on Sunday night when they have less time to spend with God. I tell you, but we need more time to spend with you, Lord. We pray that you might forgive us for the time we have not spent with you. Lord, we just pray the power upon this service here this morning that you might overshadow this service, O God, and Father, that you might bring your presence known to us today in a real way that each and every one of us understand that we need revival in our heart. We need to understand that Jesus Christ lives on because he lives on in his people. We are his people today, called by his name. And Father, we pray that we might have this holy boldness today. And Father, if they one is not saved here today, we just pray, God, that they might see the living Savior today and be convinced, God, that you are alive and you will be alive in our life if they would just accept you as their Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. After the resurrection, holy boldness because he lives on. As you read your New Testament, there are 27 books of the New Testament. There are only three books that do not end with amen. All the rest of the books of the New Testament ends with amen. That's 3 John and James, but there's one book in particular that do not end with amen, and that is the book of Acts, because the book of Acts have not been completed. It's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the Acts of Jesus Christ. It does not have an amen. It's all the rest of the books just about in the New Testament, because it is not completed in the Acts that Jesus Christ started 2,000 years ago at the day of Pentecost, when he sent the power of the living God to live in each one of us. He come into us, and we're living today because he lives. He lives in us today. We see the power that we must have. And these 5 facts that I show you here on this board this morning is the same 5 facts that we need every day, the same 5 facts that the world knows that Jesus Christ lives forevermore. These same 5 facts is what you need and what I need, and to understand why he lives today and the power that we have today and what we're facing this world and always will face this world until the second coming of Jesus Christ, is because he lives on. Because he lives on. Now here is the story. As you back up in chapter 3, we know Peter and John was going to the temple to pray. There was a man there at the gate called Beautiful. He had been there for 40 years. He had been a beggar. 40 years he had been crippled. Never walked before. But Peter and John there, as he looked on them going into the temple, and he asked them, "What can you give me? I need some silver and gold." But they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he was immediately healed. At the people that time know that this miracle was performed. They knew this man had been there all the time begging at the gate called Beautiful. They could not deny this. The Jews that crucified Jesus Christ, they could not deny that what had just happened before their very eyes. And then they began to seek out Peter and John as they had some kind of special power or not. But they let them know that it is not my power. This same Jesus Christ that you crucified, this same Jesus Christ that raised from the grave, this same Jesus Christ lives on. He is the one that performed this miracle, and he is the one that performed miracles in our life today. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ lives on, and all across this whole auditorium here this morning, there's miracles in every one of your life today that knows Jesus Christ. He lives on, and he lives on, and he lives on. Peter did not take the credit now for this miracles. In the book of Acts now, chapter 4, in verses 1 through 3, it says, "And as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold of the next day, for it was eventide." Here they come against them. Now you'll find out, listen, to start with, because he lives and he lives on, these five facts, because his persecution continues this day. For 2,000 years they've been persecuting Jesus Christ, and they're doing it through his people. And it lives on. And if Jesus don't come back for another 1,000 years, it will continue on. Why? Because they hate Jesus Christ. It lives on. It lives on. His persecution is continued on. The people there was grieved that they taught about Jesus Christ, and they preached that this same Jesus that they thought they was finished with and they was through with, he lives on. They thought they got rid of him. And this whole world today, it had been trying to get rid of Jesus for 2,000 years. Everything we see in the world in this country is to get rid of Jesus, break these bands that God got upon us, and get rid of the Word of God, get rid of the people of God, and get rid of Jesus Christ. It's here today. It will be here till Jesus comes back and puts an end to this great, great evil that we have in this world today. He's coming again. We find out in the book of Acts chapter 3 and 12, it says now, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look us so earnestly on us, though in our own power or wholeness that we made this man to walk?" It was not us. It was Jesus Christ. In this verse 10 of this chapter 4, it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand before you whole today." It's not by me. It's by this living resurrection Jesus Christ. He done these great miracles. He's the one that done this today. And I'm going to tell you, every one of us today, can you testify the holy boldness that you need? What have Jesus Christ done in your life today? What has he done for every one of us today? Could not we say the same thing that Peter and John says? These miracles have been done. This man has been healed. Peter said, "Hey, I didn't do it. I did not do this. Jesus Christ." Now listen, they begin to witness. And you can expect, when you witness and you live for Jesus Christ, you can expect persecution. Why? The disciples, why do they persecute him? Because they become Jesus Christ's hands. They become Jesus Christ's mouth. They become Jesus Christ's eyes, ears, and his feet. Why do they persecute you today? For the same reason. Jesus Christ has a new body, and it's called the church. Anybody that persecutes the church persecutes Jesus Christ. Remember old Paul on the road to Damascus, and he was persecuting Christians, and God struck him down and revealed himself to them. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecute." And Paul could say, "I'm not I have not been persecuting you. I am persecuting Christians. But Jesus Christ, whom thou, you said, you're persecuting me whenever you persecute Christians this day. I'm going to tell you, and if you're not for the church, I'm going to tell you what, you're against Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, the day people need to understand the church is his body. He works through the church today. He used to work through the nation of Israel. Their time has stopped. Now we're in the church age, and everything God's doing on this earth, he is working through his church body. It's called the body of Christ today. Every one of us today are saved in the body of Jesus Christ. When they persecute the church, they are persecuting Jesus Christ, because you cannot persecute a dead person. They persecute the church because he is alive. He lives on in the lives of people today. 2,000 years ago, it continues. Why are we having all this today against Jesus Christ in our country? Why? Because he lives on, and he lives on, and he lives on, and people trying to persecute him. The proof of his resurrection, that Jesus Christ is alive, is because they're trying to get rid of everything in this country that reminds people of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest proof that we have, that Jesus Christ is a living Savior, and he lives on. This world hates Jesus Christ, and they will persecute you. They will not persecute other religion, because they have a dead hero. We have a living hero, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I came to destroy the works of the devil, and he's going to keep doing that. Jesus Christ, what they hate, Jesus Christ is against rape. He's against murder. He's against greed. He's against pride. He's against homosexual. He's against abortion, racial hate. He's against a same-sex marriage. He's against all the evil in the world. And that's why they hate Jesus. This is a Jesus they hate. This is a Jesus they're trying to get rid of today. And he calls this sin today. Don't matter what human being calls it. It is called sin. Now, I'm going to tell you, as I said, if you vote for anybody in one of these offices, stand for the things that Jesus Christ stands against. You are against Jesus Christ, whether you be a Christian or whether you not be a Christian. You must stand and take your stand with Jesus Christ and the Word of God. People come down. They come down on these apostles like a hammer. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the way and the life. No man come to the Father except by me. The Bible says, and you all who live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Now the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, yet they was preaching the resurrection. Now they come down hard against them, the Sadducees. Why? Because they did not believe this. They, instead of examining their doctrine to see if they was correct or not, what they done is the same way people does today. They, you know what? They oppose the truth. People believe certain ways, and if you come out against them, and the same thing about homosexual and same-sex marriage, they think, you know what, that God has made them this way, and everything is all right, but that is against the teaching of the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you, it's against Jesus Christ. It don't matter what the politician says, God says it's wrong, and I will not accept it. You people in the country might accept it, but God says, I will not accept this type of lifestyle. I love these people. I died for him like he did for every one of us, but I will not accept this today. But we find out, to start with, the first thing, his persecution continues on even to this day that we're living. But not only that, we find out his preaching is convincing. His preaching, Jesus Christ, is convincing. The book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000. And you know who was doing the preaching? An old fisherman. An old ignorant, unlearned fisherman. You know what was happening? Because he lives on. 5,000 people, uneducated. What? They did not depend on their power. And I'm telling you this morning, if anybody here that do not know Jesus Christ, I'm not dependent on my power for you to accept Jesus Christ. I have no power. I have no logic. I have no education as old Peter and them. I'm like, well, what caused these 5,000? The same thing, if you walk forward and accept Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning, the same thing is because that Jesus Christ lived inside of Peter. He lives inside of me. He lives inside of you. That was convincing part, because they knew that living Savior. Now, Thomas, you know old Doubting Thomas. That's what he reminds us all of, just an old Doubting Thomas. 10 of his friends and all the other friends, when they was in the room there and they told him about the resurrection Jesus Christ, Thomas said, I will not believe it until I stick my fingers in those nail prints, thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the grave. They tried to convince him. The ones that walked with Thomas each day, his friends, his disciples, tried to convince him about the living Savior. But nothing would happen. He would not have it. He would not have it. Well, what in the world convinced Thomas of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The same thing that will convince you today. You're lost, ma'am. You're lost, sir. You're lost, lady. You're lost. If anybody is lost, the same thing it convinced Thomas is going to convince you today, and that is a living Savior. You know what happened? He had an encounter with the living Christ. He had an encounter with living Christ. And when he did, nobody didn't have to tell him anything. You know what he said? My Lord and my God. And I tell you, if you come face to face with a living Savior and have an encounter with a living Christ, that's exactly what you will say today. My Lord and my God. Too many people has had encounters with a church. Too many people have had encounter with Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Too many people had encounter with preachers. Too many people had encounter maybe with a choir. You need to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. When someone has an encounter with Jesus Christ and not encounter with a church, I tell you, you won't have to hear people say, well, I ain't going back down there because they hurt my feelings. When you stand before a holy God and see those nail prints in his hand and that side where that spear hit him and those crown of thorns have been mashed down upon, when you see that risen Lord, that Savior, you won't worry about Nancy Pansy, somebody hurting your feelings. You'll be there and you'll worship this God that I'm talking about and I'm presenting you today as a living Savior today. Jesus Christ is alive. And when you have an encounter with him, nobody will have to try to talk you into anything, because anything I can talk you into, somebody else can talk you out of. But when you see Jesus Christ, when you stand before the living Savior, as old Thomas did, you will say, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Why? Because he is a living Savior. Old Lenin, you know old Lenin over there in Moscow, you know they got him embalmed. He's in a crystal case, old Lenin is. I never seen him, don't want to see him. But he's got a guard by him day and night. People can walk up and see him. He's guarded. You know what? Embalmed in that tomb, he's got words on his tomb that I read. It says he was the greatest leader of all people, of all country, of all times. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the Savior of the world. It says he was, he was, he was, he was. All past tense. Jesus Christ says, I am. And that makes the difference. Nobody persecuting old Lenin in that tomb because he was. Why are they persecuting Jesus Christ? Because he is. And he lives on today. And why are we having the problem we have in our country? Because they still persecute him. But I'm going to tell you what, his preaching still convinces people today. And if people are being saved today, they convince because Jesus Christ is alive and he's well today. His power confronts. His power confronts in verses 11 through 5 through 11. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many that were of the kind of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day be examined of good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand before you whole. This is a stone which set at naught of you builders, which become the head of the corner. They caught them, they put them in their midst, and they said, hey, why, how did you do this? What are you doing this? And they began to tell him, say, hey, the power confronted them. They said they seen something they'd never seen before. They seen the power of Almighty God. They were confronted with this man had been healed, the power of the living God. Listen, as I told you before, look at the miracles that sit here in this church today, and how in the world were these miracles performed? They were performed in you and your family. And many people say, well, my child was on the sick bed, and my child was this, and my child was that, and my grandchild. And they'll tell you, I know that Jesus Christ went in and touched that child, and that child is whole again. What happened? A miracle had been formed in our lives today. A miracle had been formed in my life and your life, because because the power of the living God. You know what? But they thought they were through with this Jesus Christ. He's dead. He's buried. He's in the grave. It is sealed. And they could say, well, he is finished now. It's over with. No, he wasn't finished. It was finished. The plan of salvation was finished. Now, why in the world do the evil people think they have won the war? Back in the 1960s, you know, we had a group of people called the Supreme Court. And they, you know what? They said, you know what? It's perfectly all right to have abortion because a person, a thing that's in the mother's womb is not a person. It is not a person. It is just a thing. It is not a person. So it's all right to get rid of this thing. It's not a person. That's been about 60 years ago. And you know what? We still find this. They thought they had won. They thought, but you know why? Because people keeps coming back, and you know what? The resurrection Savior in the lives of people lets people know, hey, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And you see, they won't never win the war. They will never win the war. And you same thing about other things that we have in our country today, about homosexuality, Supreme Court. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they vote on. A same-sex marriage. I don't care what this quack is called a president, the most liberalist thing that's ever set upon a country, and the thing is against Jesus Christ. Everything he does just about is against Jesus Christ. I'll tell you that right now. And all his liberal buddies up there also is the same thing. And I don't care what he says about homosexual. I don't care what he says about same-sex marriage. God says you won't win. You won't win. Why? Because Jesus Christ is being resurrected every day in the lives of people. And you hear people stand up more all the time. And against this, we're against this, and we're against this. Let them vote. Let them whatever they want to do. But God says you will never win. Why? Because Jesus Christ keeps coming back to every one of these issues. And he'll keep coming back to these issues. You'll never get rid of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, he'll be against this right on and right on and right on and right on. What in the lives of God's people, he keeps resurrecting. Resurrecting people that against these things that Jesus Christ said, hey, you shouldn't do these things. They're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. He keeps coming back. The resurrection in the people, he lives on. And today, verse 11 again, it says, and this is a stone which were set at naught of you builders, which become the head of the corner. What he's saying is, you know, the old story is, and have a Jewish tradition about the builders of Solomon's temple, and they want to build this temple, and they didn't want no hammer, so they went way down there away from the temple, and they hewed out these stones where a hammer could not be heard on the temple mound. And they sent up these stones. They kept sending up these stones. And they said, this is old tradition now, but they sent up the cornerstone way before its time. But you see, they didn't need it right then, so they just rolled it down into a valley. But when they got ready to put the headstone or the cornerstone on, they looked for it and said, hey, how about sending us up the cornerstone? We said, we already sent up the cornerstone. They couldn't find it, but they knew that they had to have it. Why? Because in our life today, trying to build anything without the foundation stone, try to build anything. You know what people try? They try to build a life without the foundation stone. And you know what I've done, and you've done, a lot of us done? We made a mess out of our life, have you not? I'll tell you something else. People try to build a marriage without that foundational stone. And I tell you what, we are in a mess in our country. Why? Because we have rejected the chief cornerstone in our marriage. I'll tell you something else. We've tried to build churches without the chief cornerstone in our churches. And that's the reason we're in such a mess in our churches today, because we have tried to do away with the chief cornerstone. And I wonder why we're having problems in our country, in this country. You know why? Because we've tried to build this country nowadays without the chief cornerstone. And it's going to crumble, and it's going to fall, and it's going to disintegrate, because without the chief cornerstone, there's no foundation to build on whatsoever. As you look at this, verse 12, neither is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, that's revival fact there, because you see, his presence really compels people. The presence of Jesus Christ compels people. You know, in that verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus Christ. What's happening this day? You see, Peter had cursed, I do not know this man. He swore and he denied the Lord. Something called the boldness of Peter. What in the world was that? What is it whenever you take somebody that they will not walk down the aisle, they're so timid and you couldn't get them to say anything in front of a group of people? What is it whenever an invitation is given and some people just says, hey, they get up out of their seat and you couldn't get them to speak in front of public, you couldn't get them to walk down this aisle? But you see, there's something, because his power confronts. And that person would never say anything one way or another. You'll see them get up out of their seat, and you'll see them come down with tears in their eyes, and they'll bow before Almighty God. You know why? Because His power confronts them. You see, His preaching convinces them, and His persecution continues, and they come into contact with a living Savior. That's what changes things today. But I'm telling you, I don't have to worry about me, and they didn't have to worry about themselves, because you see, they found out the boldness of them. They've been in the presence of Jesus Christ, and something happened. You see, it said people get intimidated, but something happened. They've been in the presence of God. I'm going to tell you, whenever you get in the presence of God, something will happen. I won't have anybody to tell you what you need to do, because you'll have revival in your heart. Nobody else might not have one, but you have one. You see, when you put iron in the fire and you leave it long enough, pretty soon it gets red hot. You know what happened? The iron is in the fire, but the fire is in the iron. You know what they saw in Peter's life? They saw the fire in the iron. And that's what they need to see in our day. I tell you, we need holy boldness. Why? Because this world needs to see the fire of Jesus Christ in our life. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. They saw the fire already there. We need this epidemic, I tell you, in Christian today, of this holy boldness. Remember old Moses? He said, Moses, take off your shoes, because you're on holy ground. That's exactly what we need to tell this world today. Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. You can't walk here on homosexuality. God destroyed a whole nation of people. You can't walk there. Take off your shoes. You cannot walk there. And all these other things that I described for you know what's going on this day. Holy boldness. Now, holy boldness is not human courage. It's not being arrogant against somebody. It's not self-confidence. It's not even positive thinking. What is it? It says, verse 13, they knew they had been with Jesus. As I said, you know, more and more churches are doing less and less worshiping. It's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you. It's coming. They're going to do less and less. Put it off for all kinds of things. No Sunday night. No Wednesday night. Less and less and less. You know why this is happening? Listen to me very careful. Flesh feeds the flesh. How many of you, if we didn't have church on Sunday night, we'd stay in that recliner? How many of you comes on Sunday night, if we didn't have church, you'd say, oh boy, I'm glad I can stretch out and rest. How many of you, why? You know why? Because flesh feeds the flesh. And I'll make a confession. A lot of times I don't want to get up out of my recliner neither. You know why? Because it's flesh. I want to lay there and rest where I can go do something that I want to do instead of working for the Lord. And spend time what I want to do instead of worshiping Jesus. Why? Because flesh feeds the flesh. Why are these churches growing now that don't want to have no service on Sunday night or Wednesday night? Why are they growing? Flesh feeds the flesh. Have it any way you want to. This is what God says. You know what we need? We need more and more and more worshiping of God instead of less and less and less. Because of what God helps us and does for us so many times. His presence compels. And we'll not be ashamed. The title, He Lives On. And it says the last thing, His people confessed. And that's in verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. We can preach the risen Lord because we've seen the risen Lord. Now, this message this morning, we really, really need it. We need it today because it's the same thing today it was in Peter's day. These five things happen throughout generations of people. These five things is really, as we look at it, why that people are so down on Jesus Christ. Why our politicians in the White House is against Jesus Christ so much. These five things here this day. Why? Because the power of this message. They didn't want it out. They don't want it out. They thought we threw it. They didn't like this message about Jesus Christ. They don't like it today. They want to get rid of it. Why do they want to get rid of the message of Jesus Christ? The same reason 2,000 years ago. Because the proof of that power, and that power changes. And they don't want it changed. They want to get rid of it. And break these bonds and break these bonds asunder that I might do what I want to do. They know this power of this message is proof that He lives on. He continues to live on. You know, when Jesus Christ was in that grave, one demon said to another demon, I tell you, if he gets out of this grave, hell help us, because all heaven will break loose. And that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago. And that's happening every day in the life of born-again believers that Jesus Christ has resurrected all over again. And there that person might start off as a young person, old person. But you see, that battle starts all over again. They thought they was through with this thing. The Supreme Court thought they had won. They voted against these things. But you see, there goes another person saved. There's another one. And there's another one. And the resurrection Lord reinvents himself in the lives of people all over again. And the battle goes on. It goes on. And go, why? Because he lives on. That's the reason we're here this morning. We're battling today because he lives on. He's in the lives of the people here that's saved. Now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to meet Jesus, I'm telling you. You need to meet Jesus Christ. It says in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Speak the things that we have heard and seen. You know, the day you could be saved. There ain't no way that I can tell you, and I cannot convince you. I don't care if it's not my preaching. I'm going to tell you by the power of the Lord. But I tell you, if you've been confronted with a living Savior, they won't nobody be able to keep you from coming down this aisle. If you met this living Lord that I'm talking about, I don't know your hearts. It's not for me to know your hearts. I don't know who's saved. I don't know who's lost. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You come into this building this day, and if you met the risen Lord by the preaching and the convincing of what God said in his word, it's not by me. It's not my power. The power of God confronts you. It's his presence will compel you. And I'm going to tell you what. You will confess. That is the thing. That is absolutely the truth. It is the word of God, and if you save today, you're going to get a chance to do just exactly that. And they come with a song of invitation. Here this day, I've seen it many, many, many times. A lot of you have come down this aisle, and some aisle of church, some other, and you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Hey, I need to be saved. Why? Because I met a Savior that let me know that I need to be saved. It happens over and over and over again. He reinvents himself in the lives of people. It's going to keep happening until Jesus Christ comes back. I'm going to tell you, in the rapture of church, the war is going on. Every day somebody else is being saved somewhere around the world. You know what? You can make it this day yourself. It might be you right now this day. If the Lord has spoken to you, no matter what it is, now we're going to stand and we'll give you an opportunity to do what God has asked you to do as we stand. Seen that Jesus today? He's alive. He's alive. You know for sure now, without a shadow of doubt, if you just go out into eternity, where would you spend eternity at? There's only two places. You say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good man. I've done this and I've done that. But you see, a good person won't make it there. It's a saved person that goes to heaven. Are you saved? How are you saved? Just accepting Jesus Christ, what he's done for you. He's alive and he wants to live again in your life. You see, because we're his hands, we're his feet, you know, we're his eyes, we're his ears. We're just living for Jesus Christ. Boy, we need this holy boldness. God spoke to you today. You need the boldness to come forward. Well, God bless you. Hope you take these five facts and engrave them in your life and on your heart, because you need them and I need them and we all need them. And I'll tell you something else. Our country needs them. We need some holy boldness.